Beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible, everybody say impossible,
impossible,
to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith. How many have noticed the theme here in these verses? Faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. For just a few minutes today, I want to speak to you and give to you the word the Lord has given me. And if I had a title, I would just title it Storm Warning. Everybody say Storm Warning. Our text that I'm using today, I'm settling on the scripture, the verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here's the question. Why did Noah build an ark? It wasn't because he lived near a lake. It wasn't because he was in a flood zone. Because if you've read the scripture, it had never rained. Water or mist would come up from the earth and water the earth. There had never been rain. So here's another question. Why would Noah spend over 100 years of his life building an ark? Why would he subject himself to the criticism, the humiliation, the mocking, and the sneers? Why would Noah be willing to be rejected by his friends, misunderstood by his family? I ask you, what kept him motivated for 120 years to be working and building an ark on dry ground? What kept him motivated? What held him to the task day after day, year after year? What held him to the task of building an ark? No doubt, people walked by and they laughed at him and they pointed at him. They made jokes about him and called him crazy. But he just kept on hammering. He just kept on sawing. He kept on working. There's no record. Listen, there's no record that Noah's family ever joined in and helped him build the ark. All we know is Noah built an ark. He just kept on working. Why would he do it? There's only one reason. There's an answer. The reason is because he was warned of God. The Bible says he being warned of God. God had warned him of a coming storm. God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark because a storm is coming and I don't want you to be swept away by the storm. Most of my early life was spent here in California, in a part of the United States that's never really experienced violent storms. The only tornadoes I ever heard of was the one I saw in Wizard of Oz. I thought it was just something that Hollywood cooked up. I never really knew as a child growing up that such things existed. I didn't know that tornadoes existed. I just thought it was something on the Wizard of Oz. Then when I got older, I moved to the part of the United States they call Tornado Alley. When I got to Tornado Alley, I quickly discovered tornadoes were not just a Hollywood invention. Many times in the middle of the afternoon, or late evening, or early in the morning, I've heard the sound of a tornado siren sounding the warning of an approaching wall cloud or tornado on the ground. And immediately, we begin to look for shelter, a storm shelter, a basement, a cellar, wherever it's available. In many cases, just a bathroom, someplace to seek safety. Many times I'd be woke up by the storm warning sirens in the middle of the night. We would go to the safest place if we were in town. We would go to the safest place. We would find a hallway. We would look for a safe place. If we were in our house, maybe it was just a closet. In my house, it's just a closet. I didn't have a basement in my house. It's just a closet. I remember sitting in front of the television watching as an F5 tornado tore through Oklahoma City, destroying homes and businesses. Entire neighborhoods were demolished like a bomb went off. Lives were lost, dreams were smashed. And I came to the stark reality that tornadoes are very real and they're very deadly. Many times, the storm warning, the tornado siren would sound. The storm would go around us. The tornado wouldn't drop down. It would just skip over us. But the fact is, you never knew. When that siren went off, you did not know. Was it going to hit you, go around you, or jump over you? You never knew when the big one would hit or where. You just had to be ready and get in your safe place. I've been in storms that passed over us at 70 and 80 miles per hour, and they were gone in 30 minutes. I've been in storms that sat down on top of us and threatened us for 4 to 6 and 8 hours. To my knowledge, the town that I lived in, Salisaw, Oklahoma, to my knowledge, that town has never been devastated by a tornado. But just down the road, 10 miles and 20 miles and 30 miles, there are cities and towns that have been absolutely devastated by tornadoes, storms. Everybody say storms. If you've never seen a real tornado, if you've never seen the aftermath of that kind of a storm, if you've never seen the total destruction left behind, then you would not understand the urgency and the seriousness of those around you when the siren goes off. You might even be resistant or reluctant to take safety precautions. Like, what's the big deal? You see everybody running for cover. You see everybody running for protection. And you might even argue with those around you. What's the big deal? But listen, people who have lived in that area, people who are familiar with the potential violence and destructive powers of the storm, would urge you with all diligence and compel you and warn you, take cover. You say, man of God, what does that have to do with me? This is what it has to do with you today. I have heard the storm report from heaven that a storm is coming on the earth. The thunderheads are forming, the atmosphere is unstable, the clouds are swirling, and I am a tornado siren today, and I have been commanded by God to sound the alarm. And I know it might sound crazy, and I might sound crazy to you, because there's so many people saying that everything is wonderful, and it's peace and peace, and everything's fine, but everything is not fine, my friend. I've got to sound a warning, because there is a storm approaching. I know there's so many voices today, they say God is not angry. They paint a big picture of God. He's just sitting up on a cloud. He's a big fat man with a big long gray beard. He's just passing out lollipops to everybody. I sound more like Santa Claus. God is not angry. There's no such thing as judgment. But listen, my friend, the truth is the wrath of God is being kindled. The truth is God is not happy with what's happening in America. He's not happy with what's happening on the earth, especially in His church. I'm going to say something. God has seen. Everybody say God sees. God has seen the perversion of truth. He has seen homosexuality and lesbianism being embraced by the church. He has seen the murder of millions and millions of babies. He has seen the worship of other gods in His temple. He has seen professing Christians gambling and drinking. He has seen the pornography in the church from the pulpit to the pew. He has seen the lukewarmness and indifference and self-sufficiency and stubbornness and rebellion in the church. He has seen the adultery and the fornication. He has seen the church removing the ancient landmarks. He has seen the church departing from the standard of holiness established in His Word. And He has seen the departure from the fear of God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. My friend, God is not deaf and God is not blind. I know I probably won't make your list of favorite preachers.
That's all right.
But I just want to be put under the list of somebody that loves you enough to tell you the truth. God is angry. And His wrath is getting hotter and hotter, and it's going to boil over. I know that goes contrary to a lot of people, a lot of preachers today, but I'm telling you, God is angry. Amen. He is angry. The wrath, the judgment of God is coming on a nation that has forsaken God. Amen. The wrath of God is boiling against the sinner. Yes, He hates sin, but He loves the sinner. His wrath, His anger, it's boiling against the Laodicean church. It's boiling against a church that's become intermingled and intertwined with the world. It's against the church who's fallen in love with Jezebel, a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. It's against the church who's become drunk with the spirit of Babylon. What is the spirit of Babylon? Let me just tell you what it is. The spirit of Babylon is the spirit that is only concerned about fame and fortune, prosperity, recognition, more and more, bigger and bigger, better and better. It's a spirit of idolatry. It's a spirit of adultery, the worship of other gods. It's the spirit of compromise. It's the spirit that's willing to let go of, to do anything to obtain its objective. God says, come out of her, my people. In the Bible, there was a wicked king. King of Israel. His name was Ahab. He wanted the vineyard of a man named Naboth. He offered him money. I'll buy it from him. Naboth said, the Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my father unto you. He tried to trade him. I'll give you something better. He wouldn't sell it. Naboth would not sell out. Let me tell you something, friends. All over the world today, pastors, preachers, believers, saints are selling out. They're compromising. They're letting down the standard. They're taking the easy road, the broad road. They want bigger churches, bigger offerings, bigger reputations, more fame, more fortune. Just make me comfortable and make me happy. They're drunk with the spirit of Babylon. The Bible calls Babylon a whore. He says, the Bible says, she is a whore and she sits upon many waters. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And they have become drunk with the wine of her fornication. That means her influences have reached the whole world. The kings of the earth that have committed fornication with her are anyone who has been seduced by her and are drunk with her spirit of self-worship, self-pleasing, and self-promotion. It includes the religious church that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. They've got God on their lips but not in their hearts. They're religious but not righteous. They They just want to be happy but not holy. They're more in love with His presence, His gifts, than His presence. But then God in His amazing love, God sounds a warning. Even though He talks about Babylon, He talks about the spirit of Babylon, He talks about judgment coming upon Babylon, God in His love, in His mercy, He sounds a warning. And He says in Revelation 18:4, He says, "Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people," like He called Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, like He called Lot and his family. He said, "Come out of her." And you know, God was so merciful to Lot that while he lingered, the Bible said the angels of God took him by the hand and pulled him out. That's how merciful God is. And God has sent a warning. And God has said, "Listen, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not her plagues." In other words, that I don't have to judge you with Babylon.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Come on now.
Thank you, Lord.
This is what this message is. It's an advance warning. It's a tornado siren. It's sounding the alarm. A storm is coming. A tornado of God's wrath is coming. Judgment is coming. It is coming. If I knew a tornado was headed directly for your house, and I didn't warn you, and I had the capacity and the ability to warn you to get out of its path. See, I know something about tornadoes. I know something about that. I've lived there. And I know that there are storms that are so powerful that you will not survive if you are above the ground. They'll pick up everything that's above the ground. The only way you'll survive is if you're underneath the ground in a cellar. And if I knew a tornado was headed for your house and I didn't warn you, your blood would be on my hands. God told Ezekiel, He said, "I set you as a watchman on the wall. If you see the sword coming and you do not warn the people, they will be killed by the sword, or we could say they'll be taken away by the storm." But He said, "But their blood I'll require at your hand." I know it's not a popular message, and I know I may be setting myself up for criticism, but I'm going to tell you something. I am sounding the alarm to a church who, like Samson, has fallen asleep with her head in the lap of the world. And I'm saying to you, wake up. Wake up, church. Wake up, believer. Wake up, child of God. Wake up, sleeping saint. Run to your safe place. Run to the shelter. Get under the shadow of the cross. Get under the blood. Because a storm is coming. Deliver yourself from the spell of Delilah. Come out of Babylon. Turn your back on Babylon. He says, "Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you unto myself. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters." I feel kind of like Noah, I'm telling you. I feel a little like Noah because I feel like I sound a little crazy. When so many people, so many so-called prophets are prophesying peace and safety and prosperity and comfort and ease, and it's good and it's going to get better. And here I am hammering and sawing and building an ark on dry ground, sounding alarms, saying, "It's going to rain, it's going to storm, a storm is coming." But I can't help it. I have to do it. I've heard the storm warning from heaven. What kept Noah to the task? The Bible says he moved with fear. Faith and fear. Faith in God. Faith in what God said was going to come to pass. And he moved with fear in faith. I'm preaching in fear with faith. believing. I have family members, as I stand here today, they still live in the part of the country called Tornado Alley. In fact, my wife is there right now. When they received the warning of a coming storm with dangerous lightning, large hail, high winds, tornadoes, they may be 40 or 50 miles away from the storm. And when they receive the warning, the sun is shining. But can I tell you something? They understand because they have been there, they have seen, and even though the sun is shining, when they get the warning, they head for the basement. As soon as they hear the warning, they take shelter in the storm cellar. You say, "Preacher, it sounds to me like you're trying to use fear tactics on me today." I would say to you, you're right. You are right, my friend. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use fear tactics on you today. I'm trying to sound the alarm today and hope that you will wake up and hope that you will realize that the storm is brewing and the storm is coming, and hope that you will run to Jesus and you will take shelter in Jesus. Just like my family takes cover before the storm comes, I'm sounding the alarm. I'm sounding the alarm. Wake up, my friend. Don't be asleep when the storm comes.
Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. God, help us.
Just like my family. I know some people, they walk around, they struggle around, like, I ain't afraid. My friend, I'm afraid. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm afraid. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I'm not afraid of what's coming on this earth because I know I have a relationship with God. I know my relationship with God will take care of me. I don't give it, no matter what happens. If I get sucked up in a tornado, I just get a quick trip to heaven. That's not what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the people that are asleep. Many times that storm siren will go off in the middle of the night and I will wake my wife up. My wife, she don't think about it. You know, she's just like, let me sleep. And I jerk her out of bed and say, no, baby. I said, we got to get in that closet. She don't want to get in that closet. But you know what? I care enough about her that I'm not going to go get in that closet that might be the only safe place that I can go and leave her sleeping in the bed. Can't do that as a minister of the gospel. I can't just run into my safe place and say, okay, I'm safe now, and leave everybody else asleep and let the storm come and take them away. Just like Noah gave 120 years of his life to build an ark to save his family because he feared that the storm was coming, I pray you will hear the warning and take cover. I pray that in the church we will quit playing games with God. I pray that we'll quit trying to straddle the fence. I pray that we'll quit playing church and become the church. You may have a church affiliation. You may be third generation Pentecostal, but it doesn't matter, my friend. The only thing that matters is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him? Not about Him. Do you know Him? Do you have a relationship with Him? I didn't ask you, do you sing the songs? I didn't ask you, could you quote scriptures? I asked you, do you know Him?
Yes, that's it.
Has your name been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you talk to Him? Does He talk to you?
Come on.
You must get in your secret place. Psalms 91 and 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So what are you doing today, preacher? I'm sounding the alarm. That's all I'm doing. I'm sounding the alarm. My friend, we're in a dangerous place in this nation. We're in a dangerous place in this nation. We're so close to nuclear war that it can happen any second. We're so close. 9/11, you think people expected 3,000 people to die on 9/11? 3,000 people got up and went to work just like any other day, expecting it to be a day just like any other day, and they never came home. 300,000 people lost their lives in a tsunami. In a matter of minutes, 300,000 people were gone from planet Earth. We think we're exempt from everything. We're not exempt. America, we're not exempt. Church, we're not exempt. Persecution is coming. The storm is coming. It's not a question of when. It's not a question of if. It's a question of when. And the only answer is, get in your safe place. The only safe place is under the shadow of the cross and under the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only safe place. I'm sounding the alarm. Now I'm telling you, I know there are people, when the alarm goes off, they say, I wish that stupid thing would shut up. I get tired of hearing it. I've heard it over and over and over, and there no storm came. I heard it over and over, and it went around us. I heard it over and over, and it just hopped over us. But my friend, you can't take the chance. Every heartbeat you have, every breath you have, is a gift from God. And He's given you another opportunity to get in the shelter, to get in the safe place, to get under the blood. And I'm ready. And I'm willing to be called crazy. I'm willing to be criticized, mocked. And I'm willing for people to even say, I wish you'd shut up. I don't like to hear that. Because I'm not here to make friends today. I'm here to save your life. I'm here to save your soul. Because I've heard the storm warning. Just like Noah, God sounded an alarm in his ear that was so loud that it kept him working for 120 years to preserve his family from a storm that was going to come. Couldn't see. But you know what? We already see it in America. It's already happening. Clouds are gathering. Places are already under attack. And I'm going to tell you something. And I'm not telling it to you to make you afraid, but only in this sense that you would get under the cover. But here's the fact. It's coming. Persecution is coming to America. God has sent prophets for years and years and years. And prophets stood behind the pulpit and said homosexuality was coming to the church. And people laughed at him and said, oh, that'll never happen. He's been eating too much pizza. Before he went to bed. It's here. Drinking. We'll come into the church, gambling, we'll come to church. And they warned us that it was coming. And the people laughed and said, oh, what a crazy guy. He thinks he's a prophet. He ain't heard from God, but it's here. Multiplied millions of babies have lost their lives. Lives given by God. Ordained by God to be here, that had a destiny appointed by God, never fulfilled their destiny. It's here. And the alarm is sounding, and
I'm sounding the alarm. You know what I'm saying? Get in your safe place. What is a safe place? Under the shelter of His wings. Under the blood. I want you to bow your heads today. Father, I thank You. I thank You that You love us tonight. To warn us. I thank You that You love us enough. That You don't just let us sleep while the storm is coming. You love us enough. That You would even talk to somebody. Who everybody thinks is crazy. Think they lost their mind. Because they're saying something completely different than what so many people are saying. But You love us enough to warn us. It's coming. The storm is coming. We've kicked You out of the school. Kicked You out of the White House. And in so many churches, we've kicked You out of the church. And we wonder why. Why things are happening. Why 12-year-old children are hanging their selves. Why 8-year-old children are beating other 8-year-old children to death. While multitudes of babies are being aborted. I wonder why. And the storm is coming. But Lord, You love us so much that You send a warning. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. That You be not a partaker of her plagues. And that You don't have to go through the judgment that's coming. My friend, there is a safe place. There is a safe place. I'm not afraid. When I say I'm afraid, I'm not afraid in the sense that I'm afraid for my life. Because I know my relationship with God. I'm afraid for the people that don't know. I'm afraid for the people that play in church. That don't have a relationship with God. This is not the time to play church. My friend, this is not the time. Our time is running out. Our time to warn people. Our time to tell people. I hope that you can sense the urgency of the hour. The storm is on us, my friend. It's here. It's time to get in the safe. You're in this house right now with heads bowed all over this building. You're in this house and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, man of God, I need to get under the blood. I need to get in that safe place. I need to come to Jesus. I need to come to the Savior. Or if you're in this place today and you just be honest between yourself and God. And you say in your heart, you say to God, you say, I know I've not been where I need to be. I've not been living like I ought to be living. I've been straddling the fence. I've been in and out. I've been up and down. I've been playing the games. But today I'm going to get it right. Today I'm going to sell out. Today I'm going to give God everything. Or if you're in this house today and you say, man, God, I'm saved as I can be. I know my heart is right with God. If anything should happen, I know I would immediately be in the presence of God. But you've got loved ones. You've got family members just like myself. You've got sons. You've got daughters. You've got grandchildren. You've got nieces. You've got nephews. They're not in the safe place right now. You say, man of God, I want to see them saved. I'm opening these altars right now. If you fall in any category, or if you just say, man of God, I'm just concerned about my country. I'm just concerned about my country. I'm concerned about America, where she's going, where the road that she's on. I'm concerned we need revival in our nation. Come on, these altars are open right now. You need to get right with God. You need to get under the shelter. You need to get under the blood. You need to get in the safe place. You need to make it right with God. You've been playing games with God. It's been up. It's been down. It's been in and out. It's been off. It's been on. But today, God, today I'm selling out. Today, Lord, it's all. It's all Lord. No more games. It's all in, Jesus.
You got family members, my friend. It's time to
intercede for your family. If you never prayed for your children, how do you expect them to get saved? If you never prayed for your uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews, how do you expect them to get saved? If you never prayed for your country, how do you expect it to get better? Come on, church, cry out to God. Come on, church, God, have mercy on America. God, be merciful to us. God, send revival to America. God, send an awakening to America. Send another great awakening to our churches, God. Lord, send a revival to our churches. Lord, wake up the sleeping saints, God. Lord, wake us up to the urgency of the hour, God.
Save our nieces, our nephews, our brothers.